Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling a huge topic, one that really defines our times, but is, well, often deeply misunderstood. Globalization.
Right. It's a word you hear everywhere. And for some people, it means, you know, ultimate prosperity, maybe the end of poverty. But for others,
it's the villain, the source of inequality, job losses, cultural destruction, all the modern anxieties rolled into one.
Exactly. And that huge divide, that polarization, is why we really need a better way to think about it, a clear framework.
Because when people argue about globalization, they're often just grabbing onto one piece of it, right? Like just the economic part.
Precisely. Which is why we're diving into Manfred Steiger's book, Globalization, a very short introduction. It's part of that excellent Oxford University Press series.
And our goal today really is to equip you with the toolkit Steiger offers so you can move past those simple good or bad arguments and see the bigger picture, the multidimensional reality.
Yeah, he provides the analytical clarity we need. He helps us understand the actual forces shaping the 21st century. His main point, globalization isn't just one thing. It's this complex, multi-layered set of social processes.
Not just some buzzword on the news.
Not at all.
Okay, so before we unpack the framework itself, maybe let's talk about the guide here. Who is Manfred Steiger? Why should we listen to him on this?
Well, Steiger is a major figure in global studies. He's a highly respected professor of sociology, global studies split between the University of Hawaii and RMIT in Australia. He comes from a background in political theory, global history. He's really foundational.
And what I find really valuable, and you see this in the book, is that he doesn't just stick to one academic box.
That's key. His approach is deeply multidisciplinary. He pulls together history, sociology, political science, cultural studies, because you have to. You can't understand globalization through just one lens, like economics alone.
Right.
Steiger gets that. He looks at it holistically.
And importantly for this book series, he manages to take these really dense academic ideas and make them accessible. Without losing the nuance, which is tricky.
Totally. He's like a guide, an objective map maker almost. Uh-huh. He lays out the landscape, the effects, the ideologies driving it, the contradictions, without telling you whether it's ultimately good or bad. His job is to help you understand what it actually is.
So let's get into that. What is it, according to Steiger? His core definition is quite specific.
It is. He defines globalization as the expansion and intensification of social relations and consciousness across world time and world space.
Okay, that's a bit dense. Let's break that down.
Yeah, it's packed. But it's the core idea. And to make it manageable, he introduces three key terms right at the start to clear up the usual confusion.
Okay. The first is globalization itself. That's the process, right? The ongoing thing that's happening, the increasing interconnectedness.
Exactly. The dynamic process. Then the second term is globality. This is the end state, or maybe the condition we're moving towards.
The reality on the ground.
Kind of. It's the social reality, where global links are so tight, so established, that borders, national borders, geographical distance, they just mean less for how things like money, ideas, even pollution move around.
Right. The world feels smaller, more integrated.
Yeah. And the third one, which you mentioned finding fascinating.
The global imaginary. Yeah, this one really struck me.
It's about consciousness, our growing awareness that we belong to a single global community. That feeling you get when you see, say, live footage of a disaster on the other side of the planet and feel an immediate connection, a sense of shared humanity.
That's your global imaginary kicking in. It shapes how you see yourself in the world.
Exactly. So you've got the process, globalization, the condition, globality, and the consciousness, global imaginary. He uses these to structure the book, walking us through the main dimensions.
Which are the economic, political, cultural, and ecological. But before he gets into those specifics, he deals with a common misconception.
Ah, the idea that this is all brand new, like it started with the internet or something.
Yeah, that it's phenomenal over the last few decades. But Steiger says, nope, think much bigger, much longer term.
Absolutely. He points way back to the pre-modern period, even starting around 3500 BCE. Things like the invention of writing, the wheel, huge ancient trade networks like the Silk Road. These were all early forms of global expansion and connection.
Okay, so people and ideas and goods have been moving across continents for millennia. What makes our era, the contemporary period, feel so different then?
It's the sheer acceleration and intensity. That's the key difference. Starting around the 1970s, he argues, things just sped up dramatically, driven by, you know, digital technology, satellites, mobile communication.
They compressed time and space.
Totally. An economic shock in Asia is felt in New York, like instantly. That speed wasn't possible before.
And that speed really sets the stage for the economic dimension, which is, let's face it, where most people's understanding of globalization begins and ends.
Right. It's the most visible aspect, maybe. But Steiger shows it's often misunderstood. He points back to the end of World War II, the Bretton Woods Conference.
This wasn't just something that happened naturally.
No, it was deliberate design. Global powers consciously built the architecture for the modern global economy, the IMF, the World Bank, the GATE, which later became the World Trade Organization, all designed to stabilize things and lower trade barriers.
So states actually built the system, but then things shifted, particularly in the 1980s, with Thatcher, Reagan, and the rise of neoliberalism.
Huge shift. That ideology pushed what became known as the Washington Consensus, basically. Deregulation, privatization, free markets above all else, and this just poured fuel on the fire for
the big players we see now.
Exactly, like transnational corporations, TNCs, these massive global companies. Some of them have revenues bigger than the entire economies of many countries.
Which fundamentally changes the power dynamic between corporations and national governments, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And alongside TNCs, you have the global financial markets,
yeah,
operating 24/7 trillions of dollars zipping around the planet instantaneously. It brings efficiency, sure, but also incredible potential for instability. One crisis spreads like wildfire.
So if money and corporations are operating beyond borders, what does that mean for the political dimension? Does the nation state even matter anymore? That's the big question people ask.
And Steiger's answer is nuanced. It's not yes or no. He says the state does still matter, but it's being profoundly transformed. It's facing challenges from two directions, really.
From above and below.
Yeah. From above, you have international governmental organizations, IGOs, think the UN, the European Union, NATO. To deal with global issues, states have to cooperate within these bodies, which means giving up some absolute sovereignty.
Because you can't solve climate change or pandemics on your own.
Precisely. National borders don't stop those things. And then the challenge from below comes from international non-governmental organizations, INGOs, groups like Amnesty International, Greenpeace, Doctors Without Borders.
Creating these global civil society networks.
Right. Holding corporations and states accountable on a global stage. So political power isn't just located within the nation state anymore.
It's becoming more diffuse. Is that the idea behind the post-Westphalian order he talks about? Can you quickly unpack Westphalian?
Sure. The traditional Westphalian system from the 17th century was built on the idea that each nation state has absolute authority over its territory. No outside interference allowed.
King of its own castle.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
The post-Westphalian idea is that this is breaking down. Power is now shared. It's spread out among states, IGOs, INGOs, even corporations sometimes, because our problems and our interactions are increasingly global.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, let's shift to the cultural dimension. This is where you get those big debates about, like, Americanization or everyone ending up the same.
Yeah, the fear of homogenization, sometimes called McDonaldization, this idea that a single bland Western consumer culture is just steamrolling local traditions everywhere. That's the pessimistic view.
But Steiger pushes back hard on that,
mm-hmm,
right? He uses concepts like hybridization or globalization. What does that mean?
It means culture isn't just a one-way street where the global crushes the local. Instead, global things, products, ideas, music, whatever, land in a local context and get adapted, changed, mixed with local traditions.
Creating something new.
Exactly. Think about global music genres like hip-hop or reggae. They spread globally, but when they land in, say, Senegal or Brazil or Indonesia, they merge with local rhythms, local languages, local concerns. It becomes Senegalese hip-hop, Brazilian reggae. It's not just a copy, it's a hybrid.
So the local culture still has agency. It interacts with the I like localization. It captures that mix.
It does. And then finally, the dimension that Steiger argues might be the ultimate proof of globality, our shared condition, is the ecological dimension.
Because pollution doesn't stop at the border.
Not even close. Climate change, the loss of biodiversity, plastic waste swirling in ocean gyres, acid rain drifting across continents. These problems completely ignore our political maps.
They force us to see the planet as one interconnected system, whether we like it or not.
It's the non-negotiable reality check. These ecological crises demand cooperation beyond the nation state. They really underscore our shared fate.
Okay, so we've walked through the dimensions. Let's pull back a bit and look at the big themes, the core messages Steger wants us to take away. The first one seems obvious, but is crucial. Globalization is multidimensional.
Absolutely critical. You can't just look at the economics or just the politics or just the culture in isolation. They're all tangled together. A trade deal, for instance, has political roots, economic consequences, cultural impacts, maybe even ecological ones. You need the whole framework.
Theme two, he really emphasizes the contradictory nature of it all. It's not simply good or bad. It's both, often at the same time.
Right. It creates enormous wealth and deepens inequality. It connects people globally and fuels division and conflict. The same internet tech that empowers activists can be used by terrorist networks. It's full of these tensions.
Which leads into what I think is one of his most powerful arguments, theme three. Ideology is central. This isn't just happening to us like some force of nature.
No. He argues it's actively driven by specific ideologies, particularly what he calls market globalism. This is the dominant narrative we hear all the time.
That globalization is natural, inevitable, leaderless, and good for everyone.
Exactly. Market globalism presents these things as facts, as just the way the world works now. But Steger says, hang on, that's an ideology. It's a set of claims that promote certain interests, usually deregulation, corporate power, neoliberal policies, while masking the political choices involved.
So calling it an ideology helps us see the power structures and choices behind the process. It's not just gravity.
Precisely. It brings human agency back into the picture. And finally, theme four is this profound transformation of space and time.
The compression we talked about earlier.
Yeah. Global connectivity makes distance less relevant and speeds everything up. Events happening far away feel immediate, and social change accelerates, sometimes faster than our institutions can cope.
Steger's book is full of these really concise ways of capturing these big ideas. Maybe we can share a few key phrases or concepts that really stand out.
Good idea. His definitions themselves are quite powerful.
Like the core one we started with, globalization refers to the intensification of worldwide social relations, which link distant localities in such a way that local happenings are shaped by events occurring many miles away, and vice versa.
Yeah.
It really emphasizes the two-way street.
Yeah, the relational aspect. And he constantly warns against simplifying things, like this one on economics. Globalization is often conflated with economic processes, but this represents a serious oversimplification of a complex phenomenon. That's a useful reminder.
Or on culture, countering the homogenization fear, cultural globalization does not necessarily lead to cultural homogenization. Instead, it often produces new forms of cultural hybridization. It highlights that resilience and creativity.
And this one feels like a call to action, really. The future direction of globalization depends not on inevitable market forces or technological imperatives, but on the choices made by human beings and the social movements they create.
It puts the responsibility back on us. It's not predetermined.
Exactly.
So, okay, we have this framework, these dimensions, these themes. How does this actually help you, the listener, navigate the world? What are the real-life applications?
I think the most immediate one is just looking at your own life, your consumption, that phone in your pocket, the clothes you're wearing, the food you eat.
Where did it all come from?
Right. Steger's framework helps you see the hidden connections, the global supply chain, the minerals mine somewhere, the assembly somewhere else, the design HQ. You see the economic, political, maybe even ecological dimensions embedded in everyday objects. It makes the global personal.
Or think about how you consume news. When you hear a politician arguing for or against, say, a trade agreement or an international climate accord,
you can use the framework to decode their arguments. Which dimension are they focusing on? Are they ignoring others? What ideology might be underpinning their position? Is it market globalism talking or something else, maybe like justice globalism, which critiques the inequalities?
It helps you become a more critical consumer of information.
Definitely. But maybe the biggest payoff long term is what Steger connects to that global imaginary. It's about cultivating a deeper awareness of how interconnected we all are.
Moving beyond just a national identity.
Yeah, developing a sense that we share a planet, and that has implications for everything from your personal environmental choices to how you think about international politics or who you might support through charities or activism. It fosters a sense of global responsibility.
Thinking about all this, what was the biggest takeaway or surprise for you from revisiting Steger's work?
For me, it's probably the clarity around market globalism as an ideology. Like you said earlier, it's so often presented as just the way things are. Seeing it named and analyzed as a specific political project with specific goals, that's really powerful. It forces you to question the assumptions behind so much public discourse.
Yeah, that really resonated with me too. The lasting lesson is maybe just the importance of resisting easy answers. Globalization is messy, it's contradictory, and understanding it requires embracing that complexity, using all the dimensions Steger gives us.
And my final thought goes back to globality, especially through that ecological lens. It's the starkest reminder that our fates are intertwined on this planet. We can't retreat into purely national shells. Steger's framework isn't just academic. It feels like an essential toolkit for navigating the 21st century, for understanding that we really are one world system now.
A complex, challenging, but ultimately shared world.
Precisely.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.